Good morning and welcome to the June 25th, 2019 special meeting of the Kingston Port Commission. Comments from those in attendance will be allowed upon recognition of the chair. Please identify yourself by stating your name. If you'd like to be added to the agenda for a future meeting, please contact the port office at least 1 week prior to the regularly scheduled meeting. Please submit your documents and or presentation at the time of your request. I'm calling the meeting to order. Let's stand for the Pledge of Allegiance.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
So has everyone had a chance to look over the agenda?
Yes, I have.
Unless it changed radically from yesterday.
I know that Greg wanted to add the adopting of the revised personnel manual. Because the commission really hasn't had an opportunity to look it over, it might be that we wait until our schedule is set special meeting on July 9th, because I know it needs to be approved by July 12th. If we schedule a special meeting on July 9th to discuss and approve, that way it gives us time to look it over. It also gives the public time to look it over.
Yep.
How does everyone feel about that? Am I doing this in the proper order?
Yeah, that makes sense because it's about the agenda. So,
you know. Yes.
Yeah, that makes sense to me. I'd like to read through it in detail before we.
Mary?
I absolutely support that.
Okay. So.
Well, I will move that we accept the agenda as written.
Second.
Any discussion?
Nope.
The only discussion point that I would add would be that that's predicated on making July 9th a special meeting.
Yes, right.
Yeah, I'll send out a meeting notice and we'll get it on the web. And
okay, all in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Motion passes. Move on to public comment. As there is no public in our audience, we're going to move on to the consent agenda. These matters are routine and will be enacted by one motion of the commission with no separate discussion. If discussion is desired, that item may be removed from the consent agenda by a commissioner. We have three items. We have the approval of the meeting minutes, approval of June warrants, and
actually, there's only two.
Oh, sorry, two items. Two items.
There normally is three.
Sorry, two items.
I move that we approve these two items, the regular meeting minutes for the 22nd, and the approval of June warrants.
Okay, right, yeah.
Okay, right.
Are you seconding that? Is that a second?
I will second that, I'm sorry.
Any discussion? All in favor?
Aye.
And that consent agenda passes. Greg, you have something to say about our financial report?
Yeah. So the Hearthstone, we have to work with them in order to try to get our financial reports on a timely manner. And it didn't coordinate it well enough, so we were able to get them ahead of time. We will have them by the July 9th meeting. We'll have them in advance for your guide for the commission review, though. And they should be. We've been working towards getting it, you know, transitioned to accrual. It's just that personnel issues just ended up compromising our ability to deliver that today, is what I was hoping. So we'll have that. We should have that for the July 9th meeting. And I think our financials generally, you know, we're heading in the right direction. I have some other information for you, so you'll get you'll have, the commission will have a much better idea about what our total cash position is. It's definitely trending in the right direction, and we're moving towards being, if we wanted to, if we so chose, we could be completely out of debt. You know, if we need to be off the bond, for example, and then it's just a matter of what the cash reserve should be.
But, yeah.
So what will happen is we'll probably keep building our cash reserves before we pay off the bond and decide to do debt. And then we'll have to look at what we have, what we're getting for a return on our cash reserves, and if that's greater than what we're paying on the bond, well, then we should keep it in cash reserves, right? We'll lay some of those things out for you so you'll mm-hmm. see what the balance is in across all accounts and across the whole board, and you'll see it on an accrual basis.
Giving us the advantages to the paying off the bond would be good too. What would be the advantages to doing that?
Right, yeah.
Mm-hmm. What is the bond, how much?
The bond is at, I think it's $908,000.
Okay.
So we just made these progress payments. We're on semi-annual progress payments now.
Yes.
So you'll see it June 1st and you'll see it again in December.
Yeah, I'd like to see that laid out. That would be really good.
Yep, you will get that. I already have some of it right now. I just mm-hmm. didn't want to put it unless we had the whole financials on it.
Right.
You know, I was yeah. hoping to have that in conjunction with all the rest of it.
So that could possibly be for the July 9th meeting?
Mm-hmm. I hope so.
Okay.
I'm not sure what happened with Hearthstone here.
We could maybe ask, because this isn't the first time that mm-hmm. we've had a delay in getting our financials, it might be good to find out why that's happening.
Yep. I'm calling them today.
Yes.
Call the Department of Partners.
Thank you for following up with that.
Yeah.
So,
And just so you know, like, I know that one of the partners is actually reviewing it Thursday. So they're going over financials this Thursday to try to get up to the accrual, to try to get that delivered.
Ah, right.
Audited.
Okay.
Even though I'm out of town, but but we're following up. So it isn't like we aren't moving forward on it. We are. It's just that there was a gap here. I'm not sure why.
Okay. Okay, so we're gonna move on to, since there's nothing in reference to item 6, the financial report, move on to our action items. And the first one is the one that it's vacation of resolution number 1202, 2009, resolution to adopt a Port Gator policy. Do you have something to say about this, either?
Yes, I can.
Well, we reviewed basically the past Gator policy, and then it's been, we discussed this from previous commission meeting.
Right.
And I think the commission's concern was that, was this really vetted with people in the community, people that are affected by it? And I'll leave that to Ray Carpenter, the Harbor Master, since he has first hand knowledge of it.
Yeah, so this agreement, it just kind of just takes the court out of it. You know, it just takes us out of any harm's way, is what it is. So we're just adding this into it. It's basic, simple rhetoric that we're just trying to accomplish right mm-hmm. here. So,
and it was better with Dan Martin,
yeah,
for example. And
yeah, Dan and the watering group, the watering people and stuff like that. So they have to go through, watch a film, and they got to just look and know what it is, and then go through a sequence of us showing them how to do it and stuff like that. So mm-hmm. it's just kind of better in their knowledge of what it is, because the older we get, sometimes we forget that that's a flasher that's going to wear the battery down and stuff like that. So it's just common, you know.
Yeah, yeah.
I noticed that the part that seemed to be left out was the driving downhill. Is there a reason why that was left out of the new policy versus the old policy? It says that in the old policy it was the operator must always water plants while driving downhill to save wear and tear on the drivetrain. The part that was still in the policy was, remember the water tank when full is about 800, not including the weight of the operator and passenger, the weight limit on the Gator is 1,000 pounds.
Mm-hmm.
So if the water tank is 800 and you've got two people that are probably over 100 pounds each, they're exceeding
that. Yeah, so you're pushing the maximum, so.
Right.
Yeah.
So is it still appropriate that they do the downhill?
That is correct, yes.
Okay.
So And I think when Dan, to be honest with you, just what I'm familiar with Dan on this, and I'm sorry, I'm not fully aware of everything that was in that agreement right now from what
yeah.
it was before. So, if I could say this, is that going down the hill,
yeah.
People are definitely, you know, Dan's been teaching them that, and, you know, that's their basic, you know, knowledge as far as the water and crew goes. So.
Uh-huh.
When he takes them out and shows them how to do it, you know, that's the route that they go. So I haven't seen anybody compromise that at all.
Okay.
The people that have been doing it are been around for a long time, I guess is what I'm saying. So they know that that's the best way to go. So, but we can't add that.
Well, I was just curious as to why it was left out, whether there was a reason why it was left out, or whether that's just standard practice if that's how they do it. It was just curiosity on my
yeah,
part.
Yeah.
So I did have a couple of questions.
Yeah.
On that same item, could you repeat what you said about the 1,000 pounds doesn't include the operators, or does?
It does.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
So the new language, the 800,
that's
so you're going to only fill it halfway kind of a thing?
Exactly. So what they do is that, Mary, if you fill that thing all the way up to the full maximum, it's going to be that amount, 800 pounds is what they figure on that. The gators. And so when these guys go around, because otherwise you're going to have it sloshing around even with the lid on and stuff like that, so they know better, and they only fill it up 2/3 to 3/4, and they just come back and they
right.
know where their fill-ups are and stuff
mm-hmm.
like that, so if they come back. And I think they only fill it up like twice, or and they might even come up here and replenish their water supply. So.
I've always noticed a gap.
Yeah, I just wanted
yeah.
to make sure nobody
when
said, oh,
rolling.
I'm not
yeah.
going to stop it. I'll
yeah.
do it all in one time, and then they...
Yeah.
Right.
It's too bad.
And Dan's yeah. been pretty good. Like I said, I've been talking with Dan, and I'm after him. Not after him, but I mean, we have discussions where he keeps repeating the rhetoric to these people anyway, so...
Yeah.
The other question I had is third bullet. Operator inspect the vehicle before each use and accept it in its current condition as safe and fully operable. Are they knowledgeable enough to make that assessment?
We do it, excuse me for interrupting, we do it before we hand it out, we fill it up, we check with it, and now I'm going to have a different staff member doing that a little bit more, but we do that before we send it out into the field out there too. Granted, there are sometimes, like it says, if we have a low battery, or if the alternator is not doing what it's supposed to, or belt's loose, you know, sometimes they have, in years past, truth be told, that we've had to go out and rescue them, or a fuse burned out or whatnot, that we'd have to go out there, and they have our phone number, and they know
mm-hmm.
how to get a hold of me, so.
Well, I think what bothered me about that item, that bullet item, is that just puts it in the responsibility of the operator instead of the port. And that's
part of it. They
and
have to be knowledgeable because they're operating it. So,
yeah.
you know, they have to assume some responsibility. Otherwise, if we assume everything, then we might as well just be, you know, there's got to be, that's part of the whole deal, is to limit our exposure. So if something does happen.
And our risk.
And the other thing is that they should get some, you know, they'll have some training and take some ownership. And, you have to, you know, it's kind of like, you know, if you have responsibility, then you operate it responsibly.
Yeah.
If you don't have any responsibility, sometimes they go in and then they get too casual, whereas I think if we go over it with them, I think it's just like any job, right? If you take that job on, then you've got to understand
yeah.
what you're doing, and you have to listen and think about some of the risks.
It's like renting a car.
I was just thinking.
Something like that, where, you know, you look around the outside of the car, see if anything's scratches
yeah.
or dents or anything like that.
The tires are good.
But the car rental
yeah.
agency...
But they
takes responsibility
yes.
for the basic internal
yes.
workings of the car.
Yes.
And this doesn't do that.
Yeah, yeah, right.
That makes me uncomfortable.
Yeah.
For the gator users.
Well, I think it's a little bit different. We take responsibility for the internal workings, but if it's kind of like we just said, so if you go around and there's a flat tire, or you get hurt in that car, you still have to have insurance to protect yourself, you know, from other issues. So they just have to know that. They're taking on a certain aspect of responsibility when they go and they use this gator, that they've looked at it to make sure, like, a tire wasn't totally flat, or, you know, I mean, or something obvious, not like, I mean, obviously they can't know.
I'm not worried about the obvious stuff. I'm worried about something internal to the machine that we are, in fact, responsible for.
Well, and we would be, you know. It's our, ultimately, it's our machine. Yeah, this is more about risk. You know, if someone got hurt because they didn't, like, look and it was a really obvious thing that they should have noticed or...
But this doesn't say obvious external. This takes all of the risk and puts it on the user. Laura, I'd be really interested in your take on that.
I'm kind of viewing it in the way that Steve, which was the first thing that came into my head, was that it's kind of like a rental car. You are only looking at the outside of it and looking at it from a layman's perspective, not a mechanics perspective, mm-hmm. and that the port does have responsibility to have that in good working condition when they turn it over to you. That's just a given.
Yeah.
They do. But you're recognizing, okay, so when I took it out, it didn't have this huge hole in the side, but when I brought it back, it
yeah.
did. That's kind of what I'm...
Which was caused by me running off the sidewalk and
right.
hitting a light post.
Or I, tweaked the tire when I hit the yeah. curb and went off the edge.
Yeah,
or
yeah.
That's I'm viewing it the same way a rental car agency does. The rental car agency is responsible for all the maintenance, internal, and the rental car agency does guarantee it's in working order.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Well, or they'll replace
it. Would it be appropriate for this to essentially make that reference that the port guarantees it's in operable condition, and then
I don't see any problem with putting that in there. Ray, what's your take on that? Because we are guaranteeing that it's in working order when they take it out.
That is correct. I mean, because our gear, but like I says, it's double-sided sword, because if, like I said, with the an alternator or a fuse or something like that, something, you know, but for the most part, I would say that we're all over keeping that thing safe.
Then it shouldn't bother us to take responsibility for keeping it safe.
Right.
We need to choose.
I understand what you're saying, because if you're, the way it's written, you'll accept it in its current condition as safe and fully operable, but you have really no way of knowing if the internals are safe and fully operable until you actually get it out on the road. I understand what you're saying in regards to that. But it's, to me, it's the same as when you drive a rental car. You don't know that until you get it out there. And then you would be calling to say, hey, like when I couldn't get the gas cap off my rental car and had no idea how to do it. And it was missing as it turned out. What wording were you thinking
of?
Well,
you were thinking maybe that the operator will inspect the vehicle at that line there with a paren maybe about port delivers, port agrees to deliver a safe. Port inspects. Port inspects for safety prior to use or something. Simple there.
Yeah. Something like that. Well,
yeah. Ray, how's your feeling on that?
I agree. I mean, like, is there any way to take us out of the harm's way? You know.
Yeah. Because we always look at it beforehand too,
absolutely.
Correct?
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
So is there any further,
no.
So do I have a resolution with that addition?
So actually this is a vacation of the old resolution.
Oh, that's right.
Yeah,
and the
right.
policy doesn't actually have to be passed by you guys because it's an operational thing.
Thank you. So we're just vacating the old policy by resolution.
Right.
Thank you for pointing that out.
I don't know why it didn't necessarily relate to the resolution.
No, this isn't even a resolution they're doing. They're just the motion to vacate.
That's what I'm saying, but there is, in other words, a resolution doesn't have to be replaced with a resolution.
Yeah, no, it doesn't.
Yes, correct.
There's a lot of things that we probably, when we review them, that probably didn't need to ever be a resolution necessarily, because they did that.
Yeah.
And
better to be safe.
Yeah.
Not necessarily.
Nope.
No.
Because it changes too, so we can change the operational. So, let's just say if we go, we want to get all sorts of detail in here, and we can. It's just stuff that's a. Because what happens is, even like when you're doing this, all of a sudden you realize, hey, you know what? Here's something we've been doing forever that was poor practice, or that we should really be got to do this or that.
Updated.
So sometimes you just limit yourself by having it with a commission.
So we're still, but we still need to vacate that old policy.
Yes, we have to vacate it. It's going place.
Yes.
Okay.
Because it was passed by resolution.
Thank you. I make a motion to vacate the policy, the resolution number 1202-2009, to adopt court data policy.
Excellent. I will second that.
Any discussion? All in favor?
Aye.
Motion, resolution, vacate, passes. Now, review of resolution number 0503-2019, resolution establishing one-time opportunity for employees to cash out vacation leave. So we approved this resolution at our last meeting, but we were going to, we've tabled it in order for public or employees to be able to give input on this and give us more time to look it over. So is there any, did we receive any input?
I have a question too about it as a staff member.
Uh-huh.
Not as a member of here. I guess one of my questions would be what is the reasoning behind bringing it from the 160 to the 120? And I wanted to know kind of what's the thinking, and I haven't had a chance to look at the personnel manual, so maybe this addresses it, but what's the thinking behind, like, are we forced to take the 40 hours? Will we lose the 40 hours at the end of the year? Because it's saying that we have to take the 40 hours of vacation every year. So I guess I just kind of was curious if you guys had discussed how that's supposed to play out.
Mm-hmm.
So basically, in 120 hours, kind of industry standard, actually. Number two, it's accruing, right? So then if in the new port, let's just say the revised port manual, you can accrue starting early on, actually aggressively, you can accrue quite a bit more vacation. So you can accrue, you start off at like 2.6 weeks a year early on. Mm-hmm. So in terms of quality of life, it should be a really good, a lot of places you don't come anywhere near that. You have to start accruing and it capped, and it's really low. So so after by the end of your second year, you have 5.2 or whatever, 5.6 weeks of vacation that mm-hmm. you can take. So what it does is, because you accrue it pretty quickly, it just allows people still to have a quality of life early on in their career. And then, but it doesn't mean we want people to take vacation. And what you don't want too is that becomes a liability on our books. So if we said,
yeah,
you could just accrue it indefinitely and go up. Almost every agency that I know, mm-hmm. what they found was, wow, we had this huge, what they didn't realize was they had this huge liability on their books. Mm-hmm. And then what happens is that all of a sudden people are using it as retirement. So they could retire and have 1, 2 years, 3 years even, of accrued vacation.
Mm-hmm.
And so what they do is they standardize it. The other thing is they want people to take vacation. People need to get time off to recharge.
Yeah.
And so the combination of being able to accrue vacation, so let's just say it's not available to you, and then adding it on where you're where you're accruing it pretty rapidly, and then banking it, I should say. You're banking, a fair amount of vacation, potentially, if you can't take it over a couple of years, but you're accruing it at a pretty aggressive rate too. So, and you're getting, there's going to be 11 holidays, and so I think it's a pretty generous.
Although we're open
time off.
For all.
It's pretty consistent with other agencies too. So I looked at what, and I talked to also our attorneys, and I talked to other court directors, and I asked them, kind of what their standard is, and this is pretty consistent with what other courts do. But what I did notice was that when Bob Hellbach retired, for example,
yes,
we had this huge liability on the books that we had to pay out, and it really affected our cash flow. And you know, we're not very big, but we have a few people that would have been affected this way. They can opt. You know, it doesn't need to kick in until almost like January 2020. So it's. But I think we need to adjust. And there's a reason why all these other port districts had to do that. We did it in Port of Seattle. We did it in Port of Port Towns. It's just a matter of we hadn't implemented it here yet.
Okay, so basically, the answer is, so that was 3 weeks is kind of a standard. Like, so the max would be 3 weeks for someone to build up vacation. Yeah.
For banking. But we want people to take vacation because part of the issue was age.
So then that would be the other part of the question, like, how are we going to be enforcing that? Are we going to lose? I mean, I guess I don't understand how we're going to enforce it, because right now, I could, you know, I mean, there's several employees that aren't taking vacation. So how are we going to be forcing?
You schedule out your vacation just like anywhere else. And you say, hey, you're going to have your vacation scheduled. And if you, the question is whether or not they run up against the cap for accruing it. And the cap doesn't get instituted for quite a period of time. So between now and then, they could take that vacation.
Okay, I'm still kind of confused. Okay.
So could someone take, let's say they have accrued 270 hours at this moment. Mm-hmm. Could they take 150 in a lump sum payout and leave the 120 to accrue?
Correct.
Yes.
They could also, and here's the other issue we have operationally, because we're not very big, they could also say, I really want that 270 hours to take vacation.
All at once, and then you don't have any product.
And so then, then you're in the position of actually having to deny them
yes.
in order to be able to operate the
yes.
port.
Right.
And so that's another issue that comes up where they say, and people say, you know, you don't have a justifiable excuse for denying me my
yes.
vacation, right?
Yeah, right?
But what you did was you allowed them to not take vacation, mm-hmm. potentially. Mm-hmm. And then also, you know, you look at productivity, and they've studied this extensively. You want people to get to recharge and to get some time off. And that's part of the whole, that's one of the great benefits of working in the public sector.
Yeah.
So I think it's they could also, like, you know, they could accrue it, and then they could actually take a real good chunk of time to go take a long vacation.
Yeah.
Let's say they had a dream of, you know, they wanted to hike, you know, the Pacific Trail or whatever.
Yeah.
Then they could bank some time, and then they could say, I'm gonna set that goal, and I'm gonna do that.
Yeah,
so
they don't have to run the Crest Trail.
Right.
Yeah.
But only a max of 3 weeks.
Plus what they accrue. So it's at the end of the year. So you're accruing 2 point, you know, whatever you accrue at through the year, and you have that accrued vacation of 120. So let's say December 31st, you have 120 hours.
Sure.
You accrue vacation, and then you have, so you might have, you know, you could have like pretty substantial extended vacation.
Yeah, yeah.
It'd be 5 weeks.
Because you bank, you've got 120 banked, and then, you know, you're
mm-hmm. and then
from the following year.
Right.
Yeah.
So by the end of your second year, you could take over 5 weeks
yeah,
off.
Right.
Plus, you know, if you did over holiday, you could even do that. So it's pretty.
But you lose it at the end of that year, though, if you didn't use it. So let's say I had 120 at the end, like you said.
Right.
And then the year comes, and I get, you know, the two more weeks. If I didn't use those 2 weeks, I would
by
then
the
lose
of,
them
by the end of, the
by
following
the end of
year.
That year.
Yeah, right.
Okay.
Yeah,
okay.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. That's right.
And that's why by cap you say, we want you to take vacation.
Yes.
Sure. Yeah, I was just trying to figure it out.
So it's, you know, I would say that
it's pretty standard, you know.
It is
that
pretty
kind
standard.
Of policy.
Yeah, I've seen caps.
It's pretty consistent.
Just like 3 weeks that you could bank.
Yeah.
But it does really allow people to also take, like, let's just say they said, I really want to take a dream vacation. You know, you also, like, with revision, you can convert, if let's just say if somebody was sick, it can convert it to sick. You can't convert sick to vacation.
Yeah, right.
But
yes.
So there, it really honestly it should give people an awful lot of flexibility.
Yeah.
We want a great quality of life for their staff.
Yeah.
And really great quality of life.
Yeah.
And this, and unlike a lot of times, what you see is, especially with people who don't have a lot of years in. Like if you look at our average years of service at the port, they're not that. It's not that long. They're getting that benefit earlier on, with the. How they accrue it, I think that's important, because otherwise you get a lot of people, they go, you know, gosh, if I have to switch it, you know, it's kind of like, you know, when I switched, I was accruing vacation at a really super high rate before Seattle.
Yeah.
I was almost near the max. So I said, okay, well, you know, I'm going to, but you start over again, you know, a lot of times. That's it. And that's, I think that's really hard. And new staff members, you want people that are young to also enjoy life. Otherwise, it comes to indentured servitude, you know.
Right.
Feel like.
It can, you know, in the past, there was really no cap, I believe, on the carryover. And it creates a huge liability for the port to have all this on the books that the port basically owes that money to those people. Mm-hmm. And so it, if they use it, which is so encouraging. I mean, everybody needs a break.
Yeah.
So to me, it's a good thing. Mm-hmm.
We had a lot of people, like in other places I work, they are hard workers. They have a work ethic that won't quit. And they would work really, really incredibly hard. But we also saw that at some point, all of a sudden, they became less efficient. And
so did that answer your question, Lacey?
Yes. Thank you.
Are there any other comments on it? So we just were reviewing that resolution. There wasn't
no motion to that.
Right. Yeah.
So this is another public comment period. Do we have any comment from the public?
The
we have
public
a public
no.
now.
I think the public thinks it's a very nice thing to be able to have vacation, but it is a lot of
But you get a comment for why you're here.
Oh,
yes,
cool.
You need to say your name now.
Oh,
that
hi. Okay. My name is Jackie Wood. I live in Indianola, and no, I think it's a good idea for vacation. So that's all I have to say.
Thank you for your comment.
Okay.
But you. Why else are you here?
Oh,
yes.
Oh, do I say that now?
Yes.
Oh, okay. I'm also here on behalf of the 4th of July. Yeah, I'm not just here on a beautiful Sabbath morning here. I'm here on behalf of the 4th of July fundraising. I'm the fundraising chair for the 4th of July committee. So I'm here officially to ask for a contribution, a donation slash sponsorship from the Port of Kingston due to some outstanding increases in our costs this year. And I can go on.
That might be, yeah, I mean, I'm kind of curious, what's the situation?
Okay, so
I didn't know
if this was a good time to...
Yes.
Sure, absolutely.
So I've been running some more numbers. One of the challenges that came up this year, as it does most years, but we were actually doing really well in fundraising, except for the cost of the barge went up significantly.
Oh, okay.
It was a little touch and go for a while to even get a barge, but we have a barge, but it cost an extra additional $2,000, more than we had allotted for it. So that would be the amount that we would be asking for.
Okay.
Otherwise, the costs are...
What is your standing right now, money-wise?
We are at, it just changed. We budgeted, I believe, $46,000 for the overall year. And we still have contributions coming in. So as far as our fundraising goal is concerned, I was just doing the number, we still have an additional $3,500 to raise.
Okay.
That includes members of the public and the small businesses in town. So
right.
We ideally would like to have a little bit of a buffer moving into next year. We had one coming into this year, but just like to be able to cover our costs evenly this year. So not a huge, not nearly as much as we were asking for last year. And I know there was an initial conversation I had with Greg of in the sum of $500, and then look at the, you know, which hasn't been actualized yet. But then as we looked forward,
I think it has actually.
Oh, it has actualized? Okay, great.
Yeah.
And then we were looking for the additional $1,500.
Oh, $1,500.
Yeah.
Okay.
So $2,000 total.
Yeah.
Yes, the contributions are coming.
So does the $3,200 that you still need include that $2,000?
Yes.
Gotcha. Right.
Yeah, so we would take it down, right? So an additional $1,500. And then I know you have a lot of expenses this year going into the centennial celebration as well. So I thought it would be unfair to ask for much more.
Thank you.
Okay, great.
So someone will be getting back to you on that.
Okay.
Yeah.
Great. Yeah, it doesn't have to be decided now. I just have to make my official public ask.
Thank you so much.
Okay.
Thank you for being the public of
I
today.
I can be the public. Can I be dismissed now? Can I make my official?
That's not our job.
Okay. Yes, I will dismiss myself. Thank you. Yes, let me know. Appreciate
great.
It. I'm happy to be the public today.
Thank you.
So it is now time for commissioner reports.
Want to start? Yeah, I can start. Well, one of the things that that, as you know, I was gone for about 3 weeks of the entire month, so I didn't have a whole lot going on. But one of the things that that I did attend soon after getting back was KCAC. So the Kingston Citizen Advisory Council meeting, it seemed to be that the majority of the public wasn't really aware of the efforts that the port is taking on for the Linvog Road discovery. And it seems to be that that there's a decided lack of the public's full understanding of what product we're going to create for the study, or even that a study is going on, and people just are not aware. So I wondered if we might be able to, I mean, this is kind of a report out, but also, I feel we really need to make some public outreach, if you will, to that regard. And so that was the main thing pressing for me. I've also seen, while I was gone, I was still able to, you know, communicate and things like that. But during that time period, there seemed to be an awful lot of things going on with the traffic problem in town, and an awful lot of what I would term port bashing on social media. That it's frustrating. There's no way for us to really respond to some of that information. I don't know really what we should do policy-wise, but I thought it maybe warranted a discussion that we could talk about. So my report is more so of a layout of a frustration, I guess, that I have in relation to our relations with our outreach and our day-to-day reporting, if you will. Yeah. Yes.
I took on the responsibility to do outreach to let everyone know what was happening with Linvog. I will do that.
Yeah.
But I don't think it addresses the bigger question.
Yes.
We don't go and, I mean, the issue on the Facebook thing around the four parking spaces.
Yes.
I'm not sure that we are proactively thinking, who's this going to affect?
Uh-huh.
And okay, it wasn't part of, you know, the building changed hands,
yeah.
There was nothing in writing.
Yeah, right.
But there was a very specific commitment to those, particularly when the wine bar was there.
Yes.
And mm-hmm. and it never got explained to anybody who uses that.
Yeah, yeah.
I think there we do that kind of consistently, just uh-huh. act, and then people get annoyed and react. And, you know, so I think we could.
Well, personally, I have parked in those spots and taken the dogs for a walk down the park and on North Beach, so you have a little bit longer walk. So, you know, I have used the two-hour spots essentially for that reason, is that, you know, it's kind of convenient to be able to do. But when you look at the math of what we are losing, if you will, in relation to income for providing those four spots. And if you take a look at that loss of port revenue, it's not insignificant, even four spots.
And I agree, and I think to assign them to Kitsap Transit was the right thing to do.
Yeah.
But we didn't let the people who've been living in a different era know.
Yes.
And explain why.
Yeah. And I happen to know those folks that would potentially benefit too. So I had talked to I was down here on Saturday. I was down at Port on Saturday, and Greg and I actually talked about it a little bit too. So we were going to be happy. I was happy to go up there and have a discussion with them about it. I haven't heard anything completely negative about it from that business owner there. They have a gravel parking lot that, you know, isn't very often filled. And if there's an empty spot, you know, I'm sure people could use that, you know. I wondered about maybe a way to theoretically, because I think the pastor-only ferry uses three of the four spots.
They've been using four, right.
So maybe there's a way. I was up there and drive by there quite often, and often I've seen one spot open. But you know, part of our charter as well is to provide economic you know, incentives for businesses as well, and it's something I think we should just take a look at and have a discussion with the with the owners.
Yeah, we go talk to them. Yeah. We should have probably reached out to them if there was a formal understanding there or whatever. We kind of looked at it at the total capacity for 2-hour spots, and there's 32-hour spots just down below. But that means you just have to, you know, you got to walk with 150 feet, but you got to go walk uphill.
Yeah, so to come back. Yes,
for some of them.
Right.
And we have other spots that we're constrained on with the truck and trailers for you know, for the boat ramp.
For boating. Yeah.
And then we got Kitsap Transit, and of course this is the passenger only ferry has created a lot more pressure on these assets, whereas it used to be kind of wasn't as much pressure. I don't think. But there were, and even then there was a fair amount of pressure actually, because we had the wait list of people. So. And I think we still have a little wait list of people for monthly parking now.
One thing I have seen is that there's an awful lot of dedicated spaces for the yacht club. So, and that same day I drove by and saw, you know, the four spots above taken. There were, you know, the majority of, maybe there was one car parked at the yacht club spaces. And so I think we've talked about that before, that there seems to be an awful lot of spaces there.
They're usually empty too.
You know,
they're only full when they have like the Friday night get together or something.
Yeah, right.
But it's in their lease.
So maybe there's something we can take a look at there too, if we're reviewing their lease and seeing if there's something that might happen with that too. Because again, there's quite a benefit for, you know, you look at the monetary loss, if you will, of those spaces and what we're providing to the yacht club as a benefit.
Maybe if we could document how often there are at least four spaces empty in the yacht club's thing. Array. Maybe we could negotiate with them that we get those four spaces back, even though it's in their lease, and if they can figure out some kind of compensation or not.
Yeah.
But I mean, figure out, because that might be a possibility. I'm not sure it's the right possibility, but I think what I just want to really make sure we all understand is I really hated that pork basher, that Facebook
stuff. Yeah. It
was just a couple of people,
yeah.
And they just whipped it into a
thing that
was
yeah.
extremely frustrating, since yeah. there was an obvious answer if someone had asked us.
Yes.
Right.
However, I think there was a port meeting years ago when very specifically when Mickey was there.
Mickey at the wine bar, yes.
And she wanted to have dedicated yeah. parking spaces or yeah. something. I don't remember what the ask was, but the statement was very clearly made. We don't patrol after business hours.
Yeah.
Do what you want, park where you want
yeah.
after business hours.
Yeah.
And so that was the expectation.
Yeah.
Now, it's not their parking lot. I get that.
Yeah.
But again, I think a conversation would have
mm-hmm. Yeah.
You know, if we look around and say, who are we splashing here? You know,
right.
would be helpful. So
I think a conversation on both sides would have been a really good idea. Whoever purchased the property maybe should have come to the port recognizing that those spaces weren't in the sale of the property.
Yeah. Right.
That they could have come
yes.
and talked, and we too could have reached out and said, hey, we've got the Fast Ferry coming in. This is what we're planning on doing with these spaces. Divine Wines has moved. I think on both sides there were misunderstandings and communication was lacking.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's my take on it.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
Well, we don't feel monolithic to ourselves, but people out in the world think of the port.
Yes.
And so the idea that they maybe should tell us what they were doing. What a concept.
Right? It is really hard to read things that people say in the public when it's directed at us as a whole.
As an agency, yeah.
When everyone sitting at the table is really trying to do what they think is best for the community. We're not getting anything out of this ourselves as a personal gain. This is us trying to... and to have input from the public.